Honestly, when the camera flipped on and I saw your beautiful face, I really thought you were wearing, because I looked up really fast and I thought you were wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And I thought, this is one hell of a way to make the debut on PuckSports.com is Chris Egan, who comes out and says, hey, Make America Great Again hat. I mean, that would be quite a statement here, and I'm sure King Five would like you making that one. Chris, is for those listening on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, because I got to remind myself, we're on YouTube as well, but people are listening. Chris is not wearing that. He is wearing, and not that there's anything wrong with that, Chris is wearing a Tacoma Rainiers red hat with the product placement of wearing the King 5 NBC Olympics vest, where at some point Chris is going to tell you, hey, do you know we have the Olympics coming up in the summer in Paris? How are you? You know what? The one, I've been off the air and been gone for so long, and you were the one. I've missed you the most. God, I've missed you.
Puck, I miss our Fridays. I miss just talking about, the thing I love about us is that we just talk about anything. And we talk about, in my mind, real life things, you know, coaching youth sports,
yeah,
eating fast food, and then our frustrations with Seattle sports teams. And and yes, we will have a lot to talk about as the months get closer, because yes, those Paris Olympics are coming, Jason Pocket.
You're not even 40 seconds in and we're already breaking down the Paris Olympics. Hey, are you gonna be there, by the way?
I will be there in Paris for you.
You don't say.
So we'll be we have the beautiful tulips behind me today. A few of those Emmy Awards that you love to talk about. But come July, we'll have the Eiffel Tower behind me. So this will be the only show where you have that that access to Paris and all the athletes.
That's right. Now I got to think. I'm thinking ahead. When we have to record it. We got to record it like it's, 9 o'clock? We're 8 hours ahead in Paris, right?
Paris is 9 hours ahead.
Okay. So you're gonna be hammered on champagne and wine when we're talking to you, all just liquored up.
Well, and then I saw something. Not only do they have these special croissants there in Paris, but there's a bakery that has croissants they're served with cookie dough.
Let's be gluttonous. Let's add cookie dough to it. You know what you should just go do right now? Just start preparing for Paris and eating like a pound of butter a day. Get your Paris weight on now.
Well, when you look back at Seattle sports, you know, what is the sports anchor everybody remembers?
Of course.
I mean, sure, there's Tony Ventrella, great. You know, Bruce King, one of the best. You know, Paul Sylvie, you know, Lou Gehlos. But we all remember Wayne Cote. And so I think, you know, if I want to take my game up a little bit, I think you're right, Puck. I gotta get the weight up.
What was the thing? Did Cody have something? Because Bruce had the good sport mug, right?
Yeah, and
was it the good sport mug or good sport play? What did he do?
He loved the play of the day.
Okay. Am I getting him confused with Rondo? Did Rondo had like the dipstick award? I remember that.
Yeah, Tony Ventrella had the wrestling hold of the week, which was one of my favorites.
Okay, so explain for our listeners what that was.
Tony Ventrella would do the, back in the day, not a lot of local news was throwing WWF and WWE highlights on there. So Tony Ventrella would find the best move from the WWF SmackDown or WWE, whatever it was. And so he'd have his wrestling hold of the night. So that was, I always enjoyed that. I'm surprised they don't do that anymore. I know Sylvie will try to once in a while.
But you guys, because you guys have like 2 minutes now.
Yeah.
You don't have like... Back then, you had like, you know, 6, 7, 8 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. And I honestly think that we should get more time. I mean, nowadays, back then, maybe it was harder to find what the forecast was going to be. But now you've got your phone and you know what's going to happen. It's going to rain. You can find out on your phone.
Chris Egan trying to get weather people fired from their jobs. Breaking news on PuckSports.com.
I love the weather, folks, Puck, but maybe just shift a little more of that time our way into sports.
Well, I was going to say that you know, the news now, it's just like you flip it on, and this is no fault of anyone in the news department. It is just like death here. This is, you know, famine here. It's like depressing. Like, can we just get to the sports and like have some fun with it? Because what I liked about those guys, because not only did Ventrella do the wrestling hold of the week or night, but it was also when he would do the interviews when fake cutting the hair. God, I love that.
That was a good one. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to start doing, I think, interviews playing pickleball with people.
I think it's a great idea. I think you should. I think it's a great idea.
Hitting the ball around. And what's interesting right now, Puck, and you and I have talked a lot about this, about sports and youth sports, but I've got a 12-year-old, Puck, and I know you got a youngster as well. Uh-huh. He wore to school today a Caitlin Clark jersey.
Really?
A Caitlin Clark jersey. And he asked me the other day, he goes, Dad, what are we doing on May 3rd or something like that? I go, what's going on then? He goes, the Seattle Storm play the Indiana Fever. And he's just projecting that Caitlin Clark's going to go to the Indiana Fever. And mm-hmm. I just thought, you're a dad, you're around your kids a lot, but this is fascinating to me. This Luke is my third kid, and I've never seen this before where, like, I mean, women's college basketball has become the thing now. It's like
because you've seen it probably the other way around, like probably with your daughter, that when she was playing basketball, that maybe her idols were, I don't know, Kobe Bryant or LeBron or something. That you don't see it kind of flipped for like a young boy to say, God, I love Caitlin Clark or Sue Bird or Breanna Stewart. You don't see that. It's cool. That's a cool development. I think that's just the impact that that young lady has had, I think, on a lot of young kids. I mean, my son talks about it too. We were talking about it at practice the other day, baseball practice, because, you know, half that baseball team that I coach was also my basketball team. And we were talking about who do you think has better range, her or Steph Curry? And it was weird. It was like there was an actual debate. Yeah. They were going back and forth, and she's been phenomenal. She's just it is so much fun to not only watch her, but I think to watch all these other girls play.
Yeah.
Like Angel, the fire that Angel Reese plays with, like in your face, which I love that. Van Lith, who, you know, you covered way back in the day when she was at Cashmere, and all the girls at ladies at UConn. It's funny, the South Carolina team, I mean, that point guard that South Carolina has, that freshman, it's unbelievable. They play at a level now that 10 years ago, I mean, I don't even recognize the sport anymore.
But you said a couple things that I love too. I mean, they're not afraid to get fiery anymore.
Like, no.
Haley Van Lith is not afraid to get in your face and talk a little trash. And she's already in the transfer portal. She's going to play another year. Who knows where she's going? There's a girl in South Carolina, Chloe Kitts, actually grew up in Puyallup, Washington. Family moved out to Florida. She went to one of those training academies. She's a sophomore on that team, one of the starters. Just fun to watch. It's interesting to me and good for women's basketball. I'm excited. But here's tonight, you know, Final Four, and, you know, it's must-see TV tonight. You know, UConn taking on Iowa, and I just hope they can continue to carry this. And I'm also thinking maybe the guys' game needs to you know, put their ego aside, and they can learn from a little bit as well. You know, because I think more people are excited about tonight's Final Four than Saturday's.
I guarantee you, it'd be interesting to see. And it's hard to do the apples and apples comparison, but I'd love to see tonight's ratings. And this is coming to you on Friday. Chris and I are recording this on Friday. The numbers of the UConn-Iowa game compared to when UConn plays Alabama in the men's side on Saturday and in the other semifinal, NC State and Purdue. We'll see. I bet you it's pretty comparable, and I wouldn't doubt it that Caitlin Clark and Iowa and UConn will beat both of them. I mean, I think you bring up a great point. I think there is, at least it appears to me, a greater interest. And I don't know if it's just the way that it's been covered, but I'm checking social media. There has been a bigger buzz about the ladies tournament than there has been about the men's tournament this year. And I'm not saying that the numbers are going to be better. And I'm not saying that I find myself watching the women's more than the men's, because I don't, but it just feels like society, maybe the country, is more interested in the ladies side.
Well, the storylines, I think the basketball is just, it's almost a better brand of basketball. It's not the one-on-one. And this is very random. This is just me as a youth basketball coach watching this. And I go to the North Carolina-Alabama game on the men's side. And both teams were in foul trouble with like 9 minutes to go in the second half. It becomes a foul shooting fest for 9 minutes. The women's game breaks this thing into quarters. I just don't understand why the men's game can't go back to quarters like that. And there'd be less foul shooting. The game would be faster. Yeah. I this is probably a debate that's taking place somewhere else. But as I sit back and watch this, I'm like, you don't see as much foul shooting in the girls' game. And in my mind, you know, you get these NCAA tournaments. That Alabama-North Carolina game turned into a snooze fest until the final last minute of the game.
I wonder why. I wonder what the thinking was behind it. I mean, I wonder what the thinking still is to have them play two 20-minute halves rather than at every level of basketball. They're the only one, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's something in Europe. I don't know. They're the only one that still plays these two 20-minute halves. And, I mean, I'm with you. I just change it up and everyone play quarters because that's what everybody else does.
Yeah, it will be fun. Next time we're on together, we do need to break down the ratings, though, and see what they end
up being. Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I'm curious about it. I haven't even mentioned the sponsor of this segment on Fridays is Fat Zach's Pizza. Serving the South End with three locations, Sumner, Puyallup, South Hill. They got a food truck around the South End as well, so you can get their food truck to come out to your business or a sporting activity, picnic, whatever you want. Also,
grad party puck. How about a grad party?
A grad party. A perfect for graduation parties. And Egan will be there because he'd like to be hired on as just a personal, like, graduation party fluffer, so to speak. He'll come to your graduation party. The food truck and pizza have been voted the best in the South End. Let me do the read first. They also offer catering. Visit FatZachsPizza.com for more information. Real quick, I want to say a big thank you to Zach. Zach's been a huge supporter and friend and loyal man. So I appreciate Fat Zach. All right, what were you giggling about?
Well, I was giggling because I think it was a grad party a couple of years back, and I think it was Fat Zach's, and I went there. And on the way out, I'm like, well, why don't I just get lunch for the kids for tomorrow? So I ordered up three more pizzas to go. the guy, luckily, is a good friend of mine who was, you know, hosting the party. He goes, well, you need anything else from our house before you head on out here?
Oh, because you weren't paying for these on your own. This was like part of this guy had to pay for them.
Yeah,
ultimately,
I think when you do that, you got to pay for every pizza. So I ordered three to go.
I'll take a couple for next week. Put it on Billy's tab.
Oh, so Jim Kersey, if you're out there listening, I owe you a few pizzas, my friend.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think that brings up an interesting thing. The grad parties will be coming up soon. You know, how much, you know, I probably should have only had one piece of pizza. But, you know, if you're having a grad party, you know, you're expecting people to bring money for your kids. So you probably do need to have some food there at the grad party as well.
I haven't gone. Well, I've only gone to like a couple. I mean, I think the rules of said grad party, if you're putting it on, is you are providing food.
Yeah.
Some type of snack.
Yeah.
Some type of non-alcoholic drinks. And there has to be alcoholic drinks there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the standard three.
I think that's the debate, Puckett, that a lot of people have on grad parties is because the kids quite aren't to the age of 21 yet. So,
they don't have to drink, but the adults sure can.
I know. The adults, don't let the adults not have fun. But yes, I think there is some parental debates out there on that one. I will say this. I did go to a grad party last year. They had it on a Monday, and I was kind of curious why on a Monday.
Yeah,
but it was Cheap Chicken Monday at Safeway, so they loaded up on all the chicken at Monday. So it was a chicken. It ended up being a.
You can't have a grad party on a Monday.
Like chicken, Buck? Who doesn't like a little chicken?
I love chicken, and who doesn't love a good chicken? But I mean, are we trying to really save a few bucks to have it on a Monday? Is it because you don't want the parents to get a little loose? I mean, the whole point of it is to get a little loose. So I don't know. I think there's only 2 days that a grad party can happen. It's either Friday or Saturday.
Friday or Saturday. Okay.
Maybe a Sunday. Could we do a Sunday?
You could maybe do Sunday at
like an early Like an early Sunday mimosa, you know, like probably, you know, all these millennials, they like their Sunday fun day. You could do a Sunday fun day one.
How about this one? What is my nephew is getting ready for his grad party, and they were going over, they're going over options, and he's looking into a McDonald's food truck.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Isn't that a home run?
Now let me ask you this. Can you find out, can they do breakfast?
Oh, I think it's just fries and a couple burgers. Oh. Fries and maybe like the double cheese and maybe. Yeah.
I want the McDonald's big breakfast with the hotcakes and the sausage and the eggs. And I think if they're going to do the food truck, just because to bring back nostalgia, they should bring back the styrofoam trays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the big breakfast.
And then as you're done, you drive off and you just throw it on the side of the road. Just be on your way. McDonald's food truck. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Who doesn't like a good McDonald's?
That was a pretty good one. And then maybe a hot dog truck for after hours and a Cinnabon truck to kind of cap off the night.
You want to go, 1, 2, 3 like that? I mean, you just had McDonald's. You want the hot dog truck there too? Jesus.
You start the night with the McDonald's truck. You know, you bring in the hot dog truck late, and then, you know, for cleanup, you have the Cinnabon.
Are we going to have like some ice cold Rainiers on time? We got to have a cooler of Rainier, right?
Oh, you do. Yeah, definitely have to have Rainier beer ready to go.
The grad party. You're a few years away from your young. Yeah, Luke's 12, so you're good. Yeah. You got 6 years for that.
It's going to be a whole new world at that point. Yeah, who knows what's happening then?
How's Austin Egan going? Right, give me an Austin Egan update. Shoreline Community College.
Well, it's an emotional time right now in the Egan house. Austin is doing great. Loving good. Shoreline. Loving Coach Snell up there. Coach Snell, the father of two-time Cy Young winner, Blake Snell. So,
he's the head coach of Shoreline.
Coach at Shoreline. Austin was able to get some great work this year with Blake. I can't say enough about Blake Snell. The guy was phenomenal with my kid.
Seems like a great guy. Everyone that has encountered him loves him.
And you know what? He's pitching every weekend. He's learning. Good. He's growing. He's getting better. He's loving the game. He's kind of a... He's that submarine style pitcher, Puck. So he's a sixth, seventh, eighth inning guy. And they're, you know, he's learning that role. It's a little different than being a starter. And then he's going to go up to, he's signed a deal with the Edmonton Riverhawks, a summer league team. So he's going to be going up there. So we'll be heading up to Canada for the summertime, watching some baseball.
Wait, but when you sign a deal, he gets paid for this?
No, I think it's like they sign these kids for their summer league team, but he'll get food and housing taken care of up there.
And he's up in beautiful Edmonton. Let's go.
And last year, I think this team had over like 100, they get like 4,000 to 5,000 fans per game. So he's excited about that, but I said emotional because Madison Egan, the oldest, is wrapping up her tennis career at Portland State. She's a senior getting her master's, but she only has 3 to 4 matches left, and it's a little sad because take your two kids, from gymnastics to baseball to football, and then you just kind of all the hours you spent driving, going to tournaments, and just the fun memories, and it's coming to an end. I'm going to push her to go into professional pickleball when she graduates, so I think we're going to have another. She said,
"Okay, whatever, Marinovich." Jesus.
I mean, I think she could make a run on the PPA, the Professional Pickleball Association.
Yeah, but I bet you she could.
And I think we could break that down in another one of our segments. You know, the battle between tennis and pickleball right now. But it's still sad. I mean, this is coming to an end, and it's going to be hard to, say goodbye to tennis. But she had an awesome time, and I'll say this to everybody listening. Madison Egan, 23, still loves the game of tennis, knock on wood, still healthy. This was a multi-sport athlete growing up. In high school, she did cross country, basketball, and tennis. And I would say 98% of the girls she grew up playing tennis with, most of them are no longer playing. They're either burnt out, they're either injured, or they just kind of gave up on it. And each kid has got your own – every kid has their own story.
Yeah.
But looking back, I would not have changed a thing with her. She aimed high. She had fun over at Washington State. She's had a great run at Portland State. And but you know what? What I wanted her to, when she was ending her college career, still love the game, and she still loves it.
Right.
Is ready to move on. But it was a good run. Good run for her.
What did she do in terms, because she was in high school, she was tennis, basketball, track, right?
She did.
And soccer? And
she was one of the, I think, unofficially one of the only 4A athletes in the state's history that she got 12 letters, 4 for cross country, 4 for basketball, and 4 for tennis. But not only, other kids have done that, but she went to state all 12 times in those, all 4 in those 3 sports. So she had a good run. I will say it's getting tougher now, Puck, to do this. And people ask, God, how did she do the multi-sports things? Well, when you're on teams and all these clubs are going on, whether you're in gymnastics, volleyball, lacrosse, it is becoming almost impossible to do that. And
right.
I will say with her, it was easier because cross country and tennis were individual sports.
Right.
So she controlled her practice schedules on those two sports, where basketball was the only team sport. I think it's just with clubs nowadays, I don't know how kids can even do it. Everybody says, be a multi-sport athlete. You know,
yeah.
Be a multi-sport. It's good for it. Well, that's easy to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to do now because select baseball needs you here. Select, you know, basketball wants you here. Select volleyball needs you here. So it's easy for everybody to say that. I just think it's really difficult to do now.
Did she, I was going to ask you, when she was playing basketball, did she have another, besides like the junior high or middle school team and high school team, was she on another team, like another like travel select team as well?
Well, this goes back to the beginning of our conversation. She played for a gal by the name of Tracy Barrett, who is now a softball coach at Pacific Lutheran University. Her daughter, Reagan, plays softball for Liberty. Originally was Gatorade State Softball Player of the Year. Originally went to UW and then transferred to Liberty. Also on that team, who would travel in from Kashmir, was Haley Van Lith.
Wow.
Her dad would literally drive her. Her dad and mom would drive her over to Puyallup for a couple practices, and then they would play tournaments. but it was a phenomenal group of girls. Two of the girls went on to play at Pacific Lutheran University. You got Maddie that had a nice tennis career. Haley's doing pretty good. Reagan Barrett's doing really good. And they kind of just surrounded themselves with some good players. So they would play on that team. And then if there was ever any off weekends, we would go travel and play in tennis tournaments. And, you know, God bless her mom, who, because I'm working weekends. So my wife would take Maddie to some national tennis tournaments if we ever had free weekends. But we could see the schedule with hoops, so we could do that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's just no open weekends. And I really think it's important for these kids nowadays to also have a little balance.
Basketball seems like a difficult one. And just going through this stuff with my son right now, who's 10 years old, probably, you know, many parents out there going through the same thing, that we are knee deep in Little League season. This was the first year where he played for a, I hate calling it a select team because there's, I mean, I'll be honest, there's nothing select about it. Anybody's going to play or anybody's going to be on if you pay money. But
we were playing a soccer game up in, I think it was Mercer Island once, and we said, hey, we're playing, you know, Crossfire Premier Select, you know, and one of the moms says, really, Chris, it means select when we write a check.
Exactly. I mean, so I like to call it travel or a club team, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. And, you know, they play all during, you know, the winter, and they're working out and have practices and all that stuff. And then we get into Little League, and for the most part, it's supposed to shut down. There have been some conflicts, which, you know, I really want it to be, hey, once Little League starts, the club thing should be over. There shouldn't be anything. We shouldn't have kids missing games and practices to go do club. Now but it hasn't been crazy, but there have been some of that stuff that's taken place. And so I think as long as you can mirror those two and not have them conflict with each other, because my preference is, at least for me is, and my son is, that maybe it's because I'm the coach, but like Little League is the pref, like that's the priority once we started. But you know, for some, it just, you know, you, I guess, have to do what's best fit for you. And I can see the rationale from some parents who have to make that decision because you're like, well, I paid all this money for this. I kind of feel like we should be loyal to them, or why'd we pay all this money? So I get it. I think it's an opportunity for kids to play more, and I've seen the growth of the kids that are on at least my team. I've seen them get better. And so there's no doubt that that's been a benefit because they've just played more. It seems to me, my son, you know, he plays football. He plays, you know, baseball. He plays flag football in the spring. He'll play tackle again in the fall. Then he plays basketball, but that's just like, you know, boys and girls rec stuff. I don't know what we're going to do next time around, because that's for us up here in Seattle, that's kind of over. The rec league is over. But I have heard, we have a couple of buddies that do, you know, club basketball. That's the one that seems like it is. I mean, you have no free weekends. Like, you are playing all the time.
There's tournaments every weekend. And now a lot of these coaches, for some reason, love to travel. I don't understand that all the time. Like, we need to go to South Carolina. We need to go to Mississippi for a tournament. I don't get that. And I'm going to say this, Puck. Club sports are not going to go away. These are money-making facilities. There are a lot of great stories about many of these clubs have helped turn some really good players. And this is in Pacific Northwest, where we have groomed some incredible athletes that have gone on and done some great things. And a lot of them played at the select levels. But in my 23 years of King Five, traveling across the state of Washington, a year and a half ago, I went up to Linden. And Linden, Washington is an area that has brought home, I could argue, maybe more state championships in that city than any other city in the state of Washington. I'm talking about Linden and Linden Christian are the two schools up there. And every year, and it's just not football. They bring home state titles in girls basketball and boys basketball and baseball. I mean, they're all. And I asked somebody up there, I said, what is going on in Linden? Because obviously people aren't transferring up to Linden. You know, you don't have somebody in Tacoma like, I got to get my kid up to Linden Christian. And it was interesting. You have to go back to their youth. And yes, there's kids in there that are in club sports and do this. But they have a thing in Linden with their parks and rec department where they do not let Jason Puckett build a super team. So let's just say you're building your kid's baseball team and you go and you dominate your first two games. You win 12-0. You win 14-0. Well, they get together and say, we got to take four kids off of Puckett's team. We got to put them onto another team. And so basically, when it comes to baseball and football and basketball, all these teams are evenly matched.
Okay.
All the games are great. All the kids are playing. And nobody's like leaving going, God, we just got killed, you know, 38-0.
Yeah.
So what they're seeing is kids are staying in sports because they're like, they're having fun and it's competitive and they're helping make each other better. I thought that, to me, was one of the most interesting things I've seen, you know, as far as helping develop kids the right way. I thought that was fascinating, and obviously it's working in Linden because they've turned some pretty good kids up there. They've had some phenomenal teams. There's a girl, Bajima, who's going to be, I think, on the U.S. Olympic volleyball team. Wow. So, I mean, it's not like they don't know how to, you know, find success, but I think they're doing it the right way. Unfortunately, sometimes you see the success in these one high school towns. When things get too big, it's really hard to get things like that going.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, it's just the, you know, we can talk hours about this.
Yeah.
About just kind of the culture of this. Cause you know, when I think when we were growing up, I mean, we're roughly the same age that I don't remember any club teams at all. I think soccer was the only one that I can remember. Of my buddies that played soccer, I think they would play for another team that wasn't the junior high team. But we had a junior high. So we were so at Meeker Junior High, it was 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then high school was 10, 11, 12. I don't. Was that the same for you guys? Or were you, as a ninth grader, were you in high school?
In Puyallup, they still have junior highs.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's 10th, 11th, 12th. I was on the record books as one of the first junior high kids to ever letter as a ninth grader in the city of Puyallup. I after my eighth grade year, Puckett, we were Edgemont Junior High playing Allen. Uh-huh. True story, I'm the safety of the Edgemont Eagles. Touchdown. 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 Here's this kid.
Jesus, how many touchdowns do you have? How many touchdowns do you have?
No, I'm not catching touchdowns. Oh. I'm giving up touchdowns.
Oh, you're giving them up.
I'm giving up touchdowns. And it gets to the point where I think the Allen Falcons are up, I want to say something like 42-0 over the Edgemont Eagles. And the coach kind of like just stares at me and just screams at me. He's like, you're making this quarterback at Allen look like an NFL quarterback, Egan. Do your job.
What is he, Belichick?
Well, that quarterback at Allen, was Damon Huard.
Oh, there we go.
Who ended up going into the NFL.
He's pretty good.
Had a nice career at the UW. Won a couple Super Bowl rings.
Makes a fine wine.
After that game, I told my mom as we jumped in the wood panel station wagon and headed home after, you know, we ran to Dairy Queen to get a peanut butter parfait.
As you should.
Mom, next year, I don't know if I want to play football at Esmond. I want to go try and play varsity tennis at Puyallup. And so sure enough, they allowed back then, and this is in the late 80s, they allowed ninth graders to play certain sports like golf, tennis, cross country. So I tried out for tennis, made the varsity, earned a letter, and the rest is history. So, and that was the end of my football career, was Damon Huard throwing like six touchdowns.
What could have been for Chris Egan. Chris Egan with us every Friday for the Chris Egan Show segment brought to you by Fat Zach's Pizza. Check out fatzachspizza.com. Three great locations, Sumner, Puyallup, South Hill. Food truck pizza voted best in the South End. Also, they offer catering. Inquire more at fatzachspizza.com. .com. What I was going to say is that when we were in junior high, and I don't remember all these club teams, but what I have seen, I was confused. I was at a dinner party a few weeks ago, and there it was up in Shoreline, and they have junior high still, and they were telling me, oh, you know, little Jimmy plays football. And I said, well, who does he play football for? What club? What team? He's like, oh, plays for the junior high team. I said, what? What do you mean he plays for the junior high? Oh, yeah, we have football there. Well, what else do you have? Well, we have all the sports. See, that's like in Seattle. I don't know what it's like maybe down there still in Puyallup, South End, or East Side. Seattle public schools, there's none of that anymore. And like that was all the sports we played. Football, basketball, baseball, softball, junior high. We had track and field. We had tennis. We had all of it. Wrestling. And it just seems like that has all gone away. Maybe that's a Seattle thing. I don't know if that's what it's like down there. Is it a funding thing? Like, does the schools just can't fund it anymore? And that's what's led to all these club teams?
Yeah, I think, Puck, that is more of a Seattle thing right now, because I can guarantee you, City of Puyallup School District still has junior high sports. I know I have a niece that's in Tacoma schools, and they still have junior high sports. And, I mean, they may not have as many. I know in Puyallup, the boys can do football, wrestling, basketball, and then track.
Yeah, let me jump in. It's not they do have sports still, but I want to say for the boys, and our middle school is Whitman Middle School up here in Ballard. I want to say that the boys probably have, I think, basketball, and I think that's it. And the girls, I don't think they have softball. They have basketball. I think they have volleyball. The point is, it's very few sports, not like all of the sports that we used to have. And I'm just curious what happened. Like, what funding dropped off, these clubs picked up, and then they just said, well, we don't want to fund it anymore, maybe?
Yeah, we may need to I'd love to find out why they did get rid of a lot of those sports in Seattle, which is sad to me, though, because not everybody, honestly, Puck, can afford these club sports because they're expensive.
They're expensive as hell.
They're time-consuming. It's hard to get your kids to all these places, and I think these junior highs offer, you know, great opportunities for these kids, and also for bonding. I mean, we're growing up with kids that spent a couple of years, you know, locked up in their bedrooms during COVID, and they need to get out and socialize and you know, get away from their phones for a few hours,
100%,
and get away from the Xbox, and they need this time. They need this time not only to develop as athletes, but develop as human beings to interact, to get out there. And so I think it's very important, and I wish we could get those back. But I know there's a lot of school districts across the state still all in with junior high sports, and hopefully they can keep it rolling.
I want to wrap it up, and I don't mean to wrap up on a sad note, but I do want to spend some time. Alan Reed, your longtime photojournalist, he'd been at King 5 as long as I can remember, passing away a little over a week ago. Sorry for your loss, not only you, but your entire King 5 family. And for people that don't know Alan, kind of just let our listeners know what kind of person he was. Is which dog is that one?
That's Charlie. Charlie
loved Alan. He heard Alan's name. It's like,
well, it's interesting you say that, because Charlie and Alan were actually pretty close, because in all I'll let people know a little bit about Alan, but during COVID, I mentioned COVID, King 5 had a thing where you could only work with one photographer. So Alan was the photographer I worked with. So Alan would actually come over to my house, pick me up, and we would go out. So Alan and Charlie spent a lot of time together. But Alan Reed, one of the greats, like a big brother to me, photographer at King 5 TV for 22, 23 years.
Wow.
And here's the thing, I think some things that have happened that I've seen over the last week since his passing, which are pretty amazing to me. All six of the professional sports teams in Seattle came together, put a full page ad out in the Seattle Times to thank Alan for all of his work, which is unheard of, to see all those teams come together. Every one of their PR people, several players have reached out to me. And I had somebody at another station in town saying, I've been at this station for 48 years. And I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen so much love. And I was telling somebody the other day, in the world of sports reporting, you have sports radio where, you know, a lot of people are behind the desk. You have podcasts. You have sports anchors who just kind of stay behind their desks. And then you have beat writers. Ryan Divish, one of the best with the Mariners. He's with the Mariners every day. Then you'll get some people, Bob Condotta, who's with the Seahawks every day. Well, Alan covered everything. I mean, Alan went everywhere. So it wasn't just the Seahawks community. He was there. He wasn't just the Seattle Storm community. He was there every day. It wasn't just the OL Rain community. He was there every day. It wasn't just the Kraken. He was with them every day. And then to take this even further, this is a guy that he's a Wazoo grad puck, but gave his heart to the UW. He bled crimson and gray. Trust me, he was a Coug, but he also understood the market he was in. And sometimes we'll see that where, oh, it's the UW. I don't like the UW. No, he knew his job. He knew his job was to cover the Huskies. And he covered that school, I think, better than anybody as far as getting to all the sports. And when I say all the sports, it wasn't just basketball and football. This is a guy, we did stories on crew, on softball, on soccer. He told me he just wanted to go do a beach volleyball story. I mean, we touched everything. And then to take it the next level, this is a guy that, honestly, I can say probably went to every single high school in the state of Washington. And I don't think there's another person in the state of Washington that can say that. There are some great prep reporters, but they usually cover their areas, their regions. Alan went everywhere.
Yeah.
And he knew the back roads into every single gym. He knew if we were going to Lake Stevens, we got to turn on this road to go there. He knew if we were going to Arlington, we got to go there. He knew if he was going to Sumner, oh, their baseball field's in the back. And that's going to be tough to replace because this guy loved his job. He was dedicated to his job, and he loved bringing the pictures home. And he loved sitting back at 11 o'clock at night and seeing his video on the screen. And we're going to miss him a lot. I mean, he was a great man, hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, people are like, gosh, he's getting so much, you know, fame and love. And I said, well, it's well-deserved. But it didn't come easy. The guy worked his butt off. I mean, he would start the mornings at Sounders practice, rain practices, go to Seahawks practices, shoot a high school thing, and then shoot another high school game. So,
yeah, he was just, not only the, you know, shooting it, right? You know, and that term has kind of changed, right? A photog, now photojournalist. He was much more, he was really the I always think the first photojournalist because he was shooting it. But there is an art to shooting any event, especially sports. It's just not putting a camera up and, oh, let's just follow the action. I mean, the angles and how you shoot it and the methodology around it. But he also had a microphone. He was talking to these players. He was talking to these coaches. I mean, he took it a step further. I'll be honest with you. I think in this market, Egan, I know he changed the way photographers handle a sporting event.
Puck, I recall a time when Marshawn Lynch was talking to nobody. And you'd have Bob Condotta, Greg Bell, Fox National News, everybody trying to get Marshawn to talk. And he wouldn't talk. And Alan Reed came back from the Seahawks once, and he goes to me, he goes, hey, do you want my sound with Marshawn Lynch? I'm like, no, he didn't talk. He goes, oh, I got him one-on-one. And like, that was the amazing thing to me. Not only did he have the respect from the clubs and the public relations to people, but he had respect from the players because they knew his face.
Yeah.
And they trusted him.
He's always
him.
There. Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy, Marshawn Lynch, talking to no one, but, you know, odds, Allen, I'll talk to him. I remember at spring training one year, Raul Abana's coming out, you know, first day, you know, full squad workout, the cleats are clicking, everybody's excited. We're waiting for that big soundbite from Raul, and he goes, "Hey, Allen Reed, how are you doing? Good to see you again, my friend." You know, like,
yeah,
he knew his, not only knew who, what he looked like, he knew his name, which was pretty remarkable. And it's just the fact that he was always there and these athletes trusted him. And a lot of them trusted him from a young age. I mean, we interviewed Apollo Banchero when he was in the ninth grade. We interviewed, you know, the Trufant boys when they were growing up in 10th and 11th grade. The Haley Van Lists, the Corbin Carrolls. I mean, we were with all these athletes at a young age, and they trusted him, and we're going to miss him. I mean, that's for sure. He was a great one. It's going to be hard to replace him.
Well, you're a great one, too. I love it. Every Friday, Chris Egan's going to be with us, King 5, all brought to you by Fat Zach's Pizza. Check him out at fatzachspizza.com as Chris Egan's segment brought to you by them. All right, you enjoy your weekend. We'll talk in a week, all right? Come up with a different hat. We'll talk more about the Paris Olympics next time, all right?
Paris Olympics, pickleball, and we'll break down the Final Four ratings next time as well, too.
There he is, the Chris Egan Show, once again brought to you by Fat Zach's Pizza. We'll talk to you soon. As always, we promise to be better.
No shirts, no shoes, no
dice. Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah. I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!